Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control, 603-283-6160 is the number to call if you'd like to get in on this last hour and bring up whatever's on your mind or talk about whatever we're talking about. It doesn't matter. It's up to you. It's Free Talk Live, and that number is 603-283-6160. In the studio with you tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
It's Ian.
And Nikki.
And we've been talking about people on the U.S.-Mexico border being treated like prisoners with no due process, treated like criminals, treated very badly, treated not like humans, just because they want to freely move from one place to another, and how difficult it really is to get here. In this case, we're talking about Afghans who are trying to come from Afghanistan to the United States because, well, it's going to take them 3 years to get to their application and then say yes or no about them coming here. It's going to take
the United States. Is that what they're saying is the estimated time?
Said it could take years.
Mm. Meanwhile, they have to sit in a detention center?
Well, it could take 3 years for them to get approved to come here. So if they've just had to stay in Afghanistan for that time, they might get killed by the Taliban and tortured.
Okay.
So because they worked with the United States during the United States' occupation, that put a target on their backs. So instead of just sitting there and waiting for the United States to finally get around to their application, they have decided to go through rainforests in South America, walk all the way up to the United States, and when they got to the border, they're faced with being put in a cage and treated, like I said, really badly, like rats, put in concrete cages with I didn't say how many toilets, but that are intended for less than 20 people to be in, but instead there's 100 people in them, exacerbating their health issues and things like that. And that's what we're talking about. There's a man calling himself A who credits his stay in one of these camps with worsening his respiratory issues and high blood pressure.
Oh, I believe it.
He also recalled the humiliation he felt being shackled for 3 days as he was transferred from one facility to another, which sounds like prison to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's how prisoners are generally, you know, treated.
And people shouldn't be punished at all or put into a prison at all unless they've already been proven to have committed a crime.
Right, and they're not even accusing this guy of a crime. He's just someone who's seeking asylum. And, you know, that is the political status that people who are being persecuted in their home countries can seek in other places. So, for instance, Edward Snowden has sought asylum in Russia because the government thugs in the United States have been attempting to prosecute him and put him in prison for the rest of his life. Luckily, he was able to escape from their clutches into Russia. Russia, which is by no means a free place, but it is at the very least a place in which he's not going to likely go to prison for the rest of his life for telling the truth about what the government was doing. So I'm not saying that A is at the same level of an Edward Snowden, but we don't know because he's not telling, you know, he's not saying what secrets he has. If he's returned to Afghanistan after all this, he sure as hell doesn't want them to know what it is that he might be leaving the country for. I mean, he already doesn't want to go back. But imagine how you would feel, and we've talked about before on this show, this sort of mythology of the United States that exists in Africa, for instance. We We've had African callers who truly believe still to this day that the United States is this sort of bastion of freedom, is this free place where if you can just make it there, you'll have a chance to build wealth and a future for your family and live in relative freedom. And while it may be relatively free compared to the rest of the world, it is not a free country. And imagine how it would feel to have thought that this was the place that maybe he heard stories from people in the U.S. military while he was in Afghanistan about how great things are in the United States or whatever, wherever the propaganda came from. It does affect these people. And he comes here thinking, well, this has been absolute hell trying to get here. I left a very dangerous place. I went through a very dangerous time to cross through South and North America or Central America to get here, and then to be rewarded for your efforts by being thrown into a prison cell with 100 other people and kept for months upon months now without any kind of movement whatsoever. How much would you really still want to get into this place?
Yeah,
exactly. It makes you wonder, like, are we worsening the quality of people that are coming here? And that sounds kind of bad of me to say, but are the people coming in going to be less likely to like Americans after being treated this way? He said the guards were cussing at them.
Of course they were.
In a room where there was no room to stand.
The guards are scum. I mean, these are people who are the worst of the worst.
And they're welcoming others into the United States, and they're the ones, you know.
Yeah, welcome.
Huh. All I'm saying is they're the ones greeting.
They're the front lines.
Exactly, when they first arrive here. He says, the Americans worked with us. We thought they respected us. Hmm. Now this is the situation I'm in.
Yeah, that's disappointing for sure. I mean, you know, it'd be nice if we had, like, hula dancing ladies, like, in Hawaii coming up and putting on you or something, like, welcome to America. No, instead, it's some humorless, fat border guards or whatever, Mr. Skinhead or whatever you want to call them, or Mr. Buzzcuts that are, you know, throwing you in a prison cell and then insulting you because you can't speak English correctly, or calling you names because your skin is brown, or whatever dehumanizing nonsense that they're subjecting these people to.
Yeah, and I think it speaks volumes that when he was, you know, a benefit to, you know, the United States, then it's like, oh yeah, he was treated good then.
Mm-hmm, sure.
You know, because it seems like it was a big shock to him. He's like, well, I thought we were friends. I thought we were cool. You know, I thought I'd be welcomed in the United States for my service to the military, in whatever capacity that he did. So he was treated one way when they could exploit him.
Yep.
But the second he's here and he's seen as more of a burden, then, you know, you're going to get treated like crap and, you know, abused and borderline tortured.
But that's the thing. He didn't say he was here to collect welfare.
No, right? He didn't.
So, I mean, people see immigrants as a burden, but they are being just propagandized because the bulk of these people who want to just come here are just looking for a better life for themselves.
Yeah.
You talk to people who work with migrants, they'll tell you they're the hardest working people out there.
Absolutely.
They will work circles around native-born Americans as far as their work ethic is concerned. You know, this guy sounds like somebody who just wants to take care of his family and not be murdered.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, is that really too much to ask for?
The burden is actually the U.S. government. The burden is their government bureaucracy and their welfare programs and their government enforcement bureaus, like the Bureau of Prisons or, in this case, the Border Patrol. This is the burden. The U.S. military, that's a $1 trillion burden right there. The central bank right now is, by the way, I believe, coming close to collecting $1 trillion in interest in a year's time. They are close to that, meaning that when you pay income taxes to the federal government, that money is not going to pay for government programs. It's going to pay the interest on the national debt, the interest on the money that the federal government gets as a loan, essentially, from the Federal Reserve, the central bank. So it keeps going higher and higher and higher. And what have they been doing for the last year? Raising interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at, like, record levels of just simply interest being paid to these bankers. So you want to talk about burdens. The burdens are not from the people who are coming here to try to make a better life for themselves. They're the reason why this country is great, if there is any greatness just left in the United States. It's because of the freedom, the relative freedom we had, that was built by the people who came here from all over the world.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic because even if some amount of people who are coming here get on welfare, which I don't think is going to be a large amount, because what would be the point of leaving your, you know, country where your family is to just come here and sit on a couch and collect welfare? But even if some amount gets on welfare...
Yeah, who wants to go and cross through, you know, South and North or Central America
Is that worth it?
Thousands of miles just to get on a welfare check? I mean, the kind of people who are going to submit to that level of risk and danger to themselves, those aren't, like, welfare-seeking people.
Yeah, but typically, if you're on welfare, and this is going to sound bad, I don't care. Typically, if you're on welfare and you're collecting government assistance, you're a lazy person.
Yeah, you're a loser.
Majority.
You know?
I mean, so? I'm sure that there's some kind of outlier where somebody is, like, in no other... there's, like, disabled people.
Yeah, I mean, of course, like, there always is, but...
We don't need welfare to help those people, though, right?
We don't need them, no. But, or we don't need it to help those people. We could voluntarily do it. But my point is just, if some amount of people coming to the United States get on welfare, I bet that that would still cost the average American less than the actual border security is costing.
Yeah, probably. Absolutely.
Think how much we're paying those parasites.
Yeah.
The guards.
And they probably get paid a ton of money. They're probably getting paid upwards of, you know, I don't even have a guess, like $50 an hour.
They're probably getting paid like a lot. I have no clue, though.
I don't know really what the price point for that sort of thing is. But, I mean, I think cops get paid around $50 an hour, depending.
They're also getting, you know, like benefits. And it's going to cost us a lot less if we got rid of those people and let people just walk over the border, come up here, walk into farms and start working, walk to whoever wants to offer them a job and start working.
Yeah. I mean, I think people have the right to not be, like, murdered and tortured. Is that really that radical of a belief? You know, I don't mind that these people are, you know, my neighbors. Like, I really don't. I just don't see. And it's really sad because I feel like a lot of these people, especially Mexican people, they get labeled as criminals without even doing anything wrong. And it's really just like those bigoted white people that are just being racist.
I mean,
essentially.
And they did that.
Yeah. So.
And they said, I'm sure some of them are good people. Remember? He said that there's bad hombres coming over the border. And then people were like, it wasn't racist. He wasn't saying all of them. He just said, like, a lot of them.
Yeah, just most of them. I mean, still.
He just said, I'm sure some of them are good people.
Mm.
Yeah.
But, yeah, another Afghan man who spoke with Al Jazeera on the condition of anonymity and will be referred to as Akbar echoed that feeling of disillusionment arriving here. Akbar said his family spent years working with the assistance agency USAID on construction projects in Afghanistan, some of which came under attack by the Taliban. Now one of his brothers is being held in an immigration detention center, which Akbar likened to a jailhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Said my brother tried to work with the U.S. to improve his country, and now he's being held in jail. He explained his brother's wife and children were released by immigration authorities who dropped them off in the streets of an unfamiliar city with no money or information. Yeah, I mean, we could go on with this story. Oh, I guess it does end here. It says, Akbar himself passed through a detention center but was released with his wife and children about 9 days later. We thought we were coming to a humane society, he added, but we have been treated like criminals and animals.
How did he get out in 9 days?
I don't know. It's probably not very consistent, you know. Mm-hmm. They do whatever they want. The Department of Homeland Security did not respond to questions from Al Jazeera regarding the continued detention of A and Akbar's brother.
And why should they? I mean, they have no obligation to be transparent. They have no obligation to treat people in any sort of humane manner. It's not like this has changed, right? Like, it's... Like you were saying at the beginning of this discussion, this particular issue, Bonnie, there was all this anti-Trump propaganda because of, well, look what he's doing with the immigrants. Joe Biden is doing the exact same thing. It has not changed.
Mm-hmm.
They're still separating children from families. They're still putting peaceful people in cages for indeterminate amounts of time. I mean, nothing has actually changed here.
And this is, I wondered about this, but I forgot to like say anything out loud. I wondered, like, is he still with his wife? Because it sounded in a couple parts like he was saying he was alone. Mm-hmm. And he says, A's wife, however, was released shortly after her initial detention. Their separation weighs heavily on A's mind. I bet it does.
He's still in. She's out.
Yeah, for 6 months they've been separated.
Oh, I just don't get why.
It's all arbitrary, right?
I mean, yeah, like, right. Just let these people go.
There's probably a different bureaucrat.
Know? Probably has a really common Middle Eastern name.
Could be, or it could be like, oh, well, you or your name looks like a name of a terrorist on our terrorist watch list, but you know, a different woman saw, a bureaucrat saw his wife, and, oh, okay, you know, stamp your paper, have a nice day, and meanwhile her husband's stuck in this hell.
Imagine being alone in a whole new country.
Yeah, it's so horrible. I mean, I guess it's one thing to be like, oh, no, you know, border patrol, like, you can't come in, so go back that way, mm-hmm. you know, right? But
they should be,
to detain people is just...
They should at least be required to keep people together, like, separating children from their families and husbands and wives.
Well, they're trying to sell the children into sex trafficking, so they can't do that. They have to take the children.
Well, what if keeping them together means keeping them in the detention center? You know what I mean? Like, if you can release the wife and the kids, and you got to keep dad in there...
Why do you got to keep him?
I'm not saying they have to, but I'm not sure which one's worse.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, I would think a lot of, you know, men would prefer that their family... I read a lot of, stories from Nazi Germany, Poland, like, that sort of era... And there's a lot of, like, family stories where, you know, either, like, a mother or a father will, like, go out of their way to kind of sacrifice themselves so their family can either, you know...
Make it.
Yeah, exactly.
But
so.
I don't know, putting your kids in some stranger foster parents' house in the United States is basically like giving them to sexual slavery, according to the numbers of kids that get raped in foster care.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'd be better for them to go to some stranger's house and be raised by foster parents than it would be to be in jail with their dad. But that's it for that story. Very sad and very ridiculous and unnecessary. But we also have another story coming from Kansas. Oh, Ian, do you have that?
No, I've got that story, sure.
It's Kansas, right?
Yeah, I think so.
The captain had brought up and...
Kansas, yep. Marion, Kansas. It's a small town of 1,900 people.
Okay, so Captain brought this up on Sunday, but never got to get into it. There's a newspaper there, I guess a local newspaper. Must be small, if it's in a small area. And they had the cops come and raid their facilities and take everything. What happened to you?
How much of this did you guys cover on Sunday?
We didn't get into it at all.
Oh, okay, so you just mentioned it.
Yeah.
So it's been long enough now that this is a story that has developed since it first came out, and it has developed in a somewhat positive manner. But according to KAKE.com, ABC affiliate in wherever the hell this is, Kansas probably, and a story by the Kansas Reflector, in an unprecedented raid on Friday, local law enforcement seized computers, cell phones, and reporting materials from the Marion County Record Office, which is the name of the small newspaper, according to the newspaper's reporters. And they also raided the reporters and the publisher's homes. Eric Myers, the owner and publisher of the newspaper, said police were motivated by a confidential source who leaked sensitive documents to the paper, and the message was clear, quote, mind your own business or we're going to step on you. The city's entire five-officer police force and two sheriff's deputies took, quote, everything we have, said Meyer, and it wasn't clear how the staff would take the weekly publication to press on Tuesday night. The raid followed news stories about a restaurant owner who kicked reporters out of a meeting last week with a U.S. representative and revelations about that owner's lack of a driver's license and conviction for drunk driving. So, sounds like they stepped on somebody's toes and the police decided to do something about it. But it gets even deeper than this because apparently the police chief was involved in some sexual misconduct, allegedly, that the paper was also investigating at that time. Meyer said he'd never heard of police raiding a newspaper office during his 20 years at the Milwaukee Journal or 26 years teaching journalism at the University of Illinois. He said it's going to have a chilling effect on us even tackling issues, as well as a chilling effect on people giving us information. Which was absolutely the intention of this particular raid.
They took everything. I mean, it's going to have a chilling effect on their ability to get anything out of
it. That's right. That's what they were saying. A search warrant signed by Marion County District Court Magistrate Judge Laura Villar appears to violate federal law that provides protections against searching and seizing materials from journalists. The law requires law enforcement to subpoena materials instead. VR, the judge, did not respond to a request to comment for the story or explain why she would authorize a potentially illegal raid. It's not like she's going to actually have to pay any kind of price.
Really, what happened was, you know, she's in the club, so the, you know, she's friends with the cops. And he's like, hey, you know what? Can't let it get out that I'm a sex offender.
The attack on a newspaper office through an illegal search is not just an infringement on the rights of journalists, but an assault on the very foundation of democracy, according to Emily Bradbury, the executive director of the Kansas Press Association. They then get into some more of the background on the story. Officers told him, the publisher, that the computers, cell phones, and other devices would be sent to a lab. He says, I don't know when they'll get it back to us. They won't tell us. The seized computers and information contained include advertisements and legal notices that were supposed to appear in the next edition of the newspaper. The publisher said, I don't know what we're going to do. We'll publish something. He wrote Friday under... Sorry, this is a different person. So I'm going to jump ahead. So this is the initial story about the raid. Then, over the weekend, more information came out from the New York Post that the police chief was being investigated apparently over sex-related claims, which presumably the newspaper was reporting on, and that might have upset the police chief enough to actually go ahead and conduct a what is described as a Gestapo-style raid. Gideon Cody and every officer in the Marion Police Department, again, town of 1,900 people.
Gideon Cody, it just sounds like such a, like, I don't know, somebody that would live in the town of where Deliverance happened.
And that was Georgia, by the way. And every but there's, you know, rednecks everywhere. But they all stormed into the Marion County Records offices with a search warrant and seized computers and servers. This story gets much worse here. They also raided the home of the editor and publisher Eric Meyer and his 98-year-old mother, Joan.
In the middle of the night?
Then, I don't know if it was in the middle of the night, but then she died the next day of shock and grief. Imagine.
Oh, my God.
He literally killed his mother.
Yeah. Imagine the last thing, the last thing that happens to you before you die is your home is invaded by an armed gang of thugs who then steal everything from your family.
Who knows how they treated her and treated them? I mean, they were treating people here really badly the days of the raids.
Yeah, so there's more to the story.
Because, you know, the United States often raids news people. If you didn't know that the Free Talk Live studios have also been raided.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. Former President Trump says he plans to release a detailed report showing fraud occurred during the 2020 election in Georgia. 3 years after the fact, he'll do so during a news conference next week in Bedminster, New Jersey, He claimed the report will exonerate him from his recent indictment in Georgia for allegedly trying to overturn the 2020 election there. Trump was charged with felony racketeering and numerous conspiracy charges on Monday. President Biden, marking 1 year since the signing of the Inflation Reduction Act.
The Financial Times and the Wall Street Journal initially called my plan Bidenomics. But guess what? It's working.
During an event at the White House, Biden called the legislation the largest investment in clean energy and climate action ever. The sweeping legislation includes numerous Democratic priorities to address climate change and lower the cost of health care and prescription drugs. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That you control, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio with you tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
It's Ian.
And Nikki.
And we've been talking about a newspaper company in Kansas, a small town in Kansas, that got raided suddenly. And it was their company and also some of the individuals involved, their personal houses. And why they got raided, it doesn't seem like they did anything illegal, so I'm not exactly sure why. But one of the likely reasons why is because they were reporting on one of the very cops that ended up raiding their company and houses.
And then killing, not directly, but basically, his own 98-year-old mother, Joan Meyer, who was the paper's co-owner when they raided the home of the publisher, who was living with his mom. He's taking care of her, right? She's 98 years old. She died the following day of what he described as shock and grief, stressed and unable to sleep when police seized her computer and smart speaker, as well as her son's cell phone and even his router. He had answered the door thinking it was her Meals on Wheels delivery.
Oh my God, that's so sad.
It's really freaking
sad. They should be able to sue them for that.
That's where qualified immunity comes into play.
Yep.
These officers, even though the next update There's another update on this, and that is that the prosecution in this little town or the county or wherever it was has said they do not believe that this was a legitimate confiscation of property, and they asked the judge to order all of the property returned.
Wow.
But I want to go into a little more details on the background of what it was that ostensibly was going on here. So according to the New York Post, again, this old lady passed away the next day. The Marion County Record, it's a weekly paper. It served the rural communities of Marion County, which has 11,000 people. The town itself is just under 2,000. And until now, had never been at the center of a national battle over freedom of the press. But as First Amendment advocates spoke out against the raid, it emerged the paper had been investigating Chief Gideon Cody of the Marion Police Department, who previously worked for the Kansas City Police Department. So moved from
he's hopping
big
around
city into a small town police chief role. He's 54 years old. They were investigating him after receiving an outpouring of calls claiming that Cody had retired from his last police post to avoid demotion over sexual misconduct allegations. Cody joined the Marion County Police Department in late April after retiring as a captain in Kansas City, where he was for 24 years. Meyer told the Handbasket Substack that his outlet had been contacted by Cody's former colleagues about the claims of sexual misconduct, but that his six plus anonymous sources ultimately never went on the record, and reporters could not obtain Cody's personnel file. So it sounds like people who worked with this man had reached out to the newspaper and said, this guy is corrupt, here's what he was doing, but because they're cowardly cops and they don't want Cody to, come after them in some way, shape, or form, they would not go on the record. They would not specify who they were and why they knew what they knew. So it was just allegations at this point. The explosive claims, as well as the identities of the people who made them, were contained on one of the computers seized during the raid on the newspaper's office, according to Meyer.
Imagine being so gross that you would even just be one of these other cops that isn't getting hoodies and agreed to come do this. Like, yep, we'll get the computer and erase that for you, sir.
Oh, I think he wants to know who they are.
I think he wants
to find out who's been talking about him.
Yeah.
That's really dangerous.
But I agree with what Bonnie's saying, where it's like, imagine kind of going along with this. Like, I'm sure if he's the police chief, like, they can't really...
It was every single officer.
Yep.
Yeah.
All five of them.
Oh, but they're just doing their job. I mean, they're just following orders.
Yeah, I mean, the right thing to do would have been to say, that sounds illegal. No.
Yeah.
I'm not going to participate in that. This was the publisher saying, I may be paranoid that this has anything to do with it, but when people come and seize your computer, you tend to be a little paranoid, he said. And he's absolutely right. The Kansas Police Department told the Post it could not discuss whether Cody had been investigated during his tenure on the force, citing the state's Sunshine Law, which sounds like a strange name for a law that would allow them to not talk about something that went on with their personnel. Normally you name a thing the Sunshine Law when it is opening files for examination.
Shines light on truth.
This is the stuff that, you know, Vladimir Putin does, that third world dictators do, said Meyer, who is 69 years old. He said, this is Gestapo tactics from World War II. A search warrant for the raid says it was issued over an allegation of identity theft by its reporters. So the police are saying the reason for the raid is a local restaurateur named Carrie Newell, who apparently there was a claim made after someone sent the paper and a member of the local council documents that showed she had had a DUI, which would make it illegal for her to have a liquor license. Newell also threw the Marion County Records reporters out of a public meeting held by a local congressman, which was attended by the police chief, and used a city council meeting to accuse the paper of illegally obtaining her DUI records.
Wait, she kept them out of a public meeting of...
Apparently.
The town?
Yeah, I don't know if it was like a town meeting or if it was just like at her restaurant. It's not clear where the meeting was taking place. But she did admit that she had a drunken driving record. The paper never published her DUI details, and the publisher had denied acting illegally, claiming he believed they'd been sent to the paper's reporter, Deb Groover, because of illegal sparring between Newell and her ex-husband. During the raid, Cody seized Groover's cell phone from her hand, injuring a finger that she had previously dislocated. Quote, "We didn't publish it because we couldn't nail it down to the point that we thought it was ready for publication," he said. Cody didn't know who our sources were. He does now. Cody, the police chief, declined to respond to inquiries on Monday whether allegations of sexual misconduct were filed against him while working at Kansas City Police, and referred the post to the Kansas Bureau of Investigation. KBI spokesbureaucrat Melissa Underwood said the agency started its probe early Monday, adding she had no knowledge of any sexual misconduct claims previously filed against Cody.
And does it say spokesbureaucrat?
No. She wrote in the post an email on Monday saying, "As we transition, we will review prior steps taken and work to determine how best to proceed with the case. Once our thorough investigation concludes, we will forward all investigative facts for the prosecutor to review."
Well, it seems like the prosecutor doesn't want to prosecute this. So.
Yep, that's the final update here. Cody worked for 8 years as a patrol officer in Kansas City before being promoted to sergeant in 2007. He became a captain in 2014 and then retired from the department on April 22nd. And then days later, he accepted the job as Marion's top cop. So it sounds like he's one of these double dippers.
Right? Yeah.
So by retiring, that means he's getting his police pension.
Yeah.
So he's getting, 90% of what his previous paycheck was as a captain, which is probably pretty decent, in Kansas City. And now he's making whatever the full-time salary is as the chief.
I'm surprised that's allowed.
Oh, they do it all the time.
Yeah, it just seems like that. But that just doesn't seem right, obviously.
Every one of those court guys down there, those old men that they have at the court building, every one of those guys are retired cops who are getting their retirement pay from the state of New Hampshire, and now they're getting paid a full-time salary on top to be court security officers. Oh, it happens all over the place, and it's not just police.
Well, to reward them for being good little lobotomized people who will just do whatever evil thing they're told to do.
As well as law enforcement, Cody describes himself as business and leadership oriented, and at one time he ran a company selling an anti-ramming vehicle system called Road Safe Barriers. Brian Kerman, his business partner and colleague of more than two decades, says he knew of no sexual misconduct allegations against Cody while working for the Kansas City Police. Not that he would be honest about it if he did, but he said he'd known him for 20 years and never heard of anything regarding those allegations. In a statement released Saturday, his department cited a criminal investigation in response to the inquiries about an ongoing probe. Quote, "The Marion County Police, Marion, Kansas Police Department believes it's the fundamental duty of the police is to ensure the safety, security, and well-being of all members of the public." So how is it that raiding a newspaper is doing that exactly? Well, he didn't make that explanation, but he did say, "This commitment must remain steadfast and unbiased, unaffected by political or media influences, in order to uphold the principles of justice, equal protection, and the rule of law for everyone in the community."
Sure.
"The victim, whoever that is, asks that we do all the law allows to ensure justice is served. The Marion, Kansas Police Department will..." "Will something, nothing less." So... there's this Latin thing that they do sometimes when they print a line that somebody wrote incorrectly, where they put in parentheses the letters S-I-C. And they put that here because apparently he left out the word do. So the original line was, "The Marion, Kansas Police will nothing less." So he just forgot the word do originally. Mm. So that's that. So now you know.
So you're pointing out he's dumb.
That the police, or at least he didn't edit or check over his piece before he released it.
Oh, it was typed out. Okay. So, I thought I was speaking like that.
So now we know that the police are not talking in any sort of detail about what exactly they were investigating.
Who was the victim? I have listened to this whole article.
The lady that they were allegedly illegally. Well, they illegally obtained her DUI record, which I thought that
was. No, they didn't. They.
But wasn't that what it was about?
What they were claiming?
What they? Yeah, they were claiming.
Yeah,
that's what the raid was about.
They never even published it. They never even published it.
Yeah,
apparently.
So you'd think that. Well, and obviously that was just, like a BS reason, just so they could raid them and steal their stuff.
Apparently someone sent the paper documents showing she had had a DUI. The paper then looked for, like, can we verify this?
Yeah, and then they couldn't.
They couldn't get that information. And then apparently the woman admitted it while she was at a council meeting that she had had a drunk driving record.
So it's like, and it's like, so if you did and you're talking about it, then what's...
How is she a victim?
Crime? Yeah,
at the very
crime?
Least, how is she a victim?
Like, that's essentially public record. I don't know. And I think the funniest part about this whole story is the fact that if they didn't raid the newspaper, and even if the newspaper did come out with a story accusing him of being a sex offender or whatever, that probably would have stayed on a local level. You know, this is a very small town.
Sure.
I doubt very many people are reading this newspaper. It would have blown over, probably, or kept it a small town. He could have retired and went somewhere else.
Probably would have,
But now it's like national news.
Yep, we're talking
and, I mean,
national news about Gideon Cody possibly being a sex offender and then raiding people's houses and killing grandmas in order to keep the secret down. So good job, Gideon Cody.
Yeah, so... Like, it could have kind of been a small thing, and now it's going to be a huge thing, and people are talking about it because people are outraged.
How much you want to bet that he's having some sort of affair? I don't know if he's married or whatever. Maybe he's having sex with the restaurant owner, and
so he's doing
her a favor, essentially, by going after her rivals
that
at the newspaper. NBC Kansas, or NBCNews.com, has the update here, the good news, if you want to call it that, because, again, there's no bringing back this man's 98-year-old mother
died
the next day after this raid. But if you want to call this good news, it's a development. It's at least that. Police had insufficient evidence to raid the offices of a small Kansas newspaper, according to the government prosecutors. Officers raided the record, which we just explained, in a case that infuriated press freedom watchdogs. Police said they believed an employee might have committed a computer-based crime, but, quote, upon further review, according to Marion County Attorney Joel Ensie, he says, I've come to the conclusion that insufficient evidence exists to establish a legally sufficient nexus.
And he's the prosecution?
This is the county prosecutor. Between this alleged crime and the places searched and the items seized, he said in a statement. He said, further, as a result, I've submitted a proposed order asking the court to release the evidence seized. I've asked local law enforcement to return the material seized to the owners of the property. The lawyer for the paper said he was working quickly to get back those seized items. So there's a little bit of good news. You basically have the Marion County prosecutor saying he could not determine any kind of reason why these items should have been seized in the first place. There's no quote-unquote legal nexus between the allegations and the devices that were seized. But that said, the police have now had these devices since Friday, so they've had all weekend
to look through all their stuff.
Look through these things, and I don't, you know, we don't know if these things are encrypted, but the guy who's running this newspaper, 69 years old, I mean, he's himself is a pretty old
guy. And he already said now they know our sources.
He did say that, yeah. So it sounds like these were unencrypted drives. They could have imaged the drives. They could have copied everything off of these drives by now. And, you know, returning everything doesn't necessarily mean they don't already have copies of all of these things. So, I mean, this is scant good news at best. Whether this will open the police department to any kind of liability for these actions still remains to be seen. And I would say it probably won't because of qualified immunity.
Because they're a mafia. They got a woman, somebody calling themselves a judge, to write off that they were allowed to do this. Well, it's out of their hands. It's in her hands. And then she has her own qualified immunity, whatever kind of judge qualified immunity they have. They don't get in trouble. It's, well, it was my opinion and blah, blah, blah. So, well, it was all an accident. Sorry, we'll give you your stuff back. Even though the damage has already been done, the man's mother died, and the cops got to look through his stuff and see who his sources are.
Yep.
And now
there's
those those people's lives are probably in danger because this person's this Gideon Cody, he has shown himself to be a thug.
He's clearly unhinged. I mean, he sounds like a raging lunatic.
Right.
You know, he's definitely probably a sex offender. I mean, we can kind of, you know, confirm that now.
This makes me really think that more than I would have ever before.
Yeah. I mean, like, to go to this extent to try to, you know, hide that information from the public.
Find out who's saying it.
I mean, that screams guilt to me. You know, and more than likely a cop is either going to be, you know, a wife beater or a sex offender.
Yep.
So, yeah. I mean,
I don't want to say you should judge people by, you know, how they look necessarily, but here's,
okay.
A picture of the police chief standing, looking like he's got his arms spread. He's on a beach.
He looks like a mafia member.
He looks like
a total mafia. Yeah, would stand like,
yeah.
I don't know. He looks gross to me.
Yeah, so that's the update there, and they're going to have to give the stuff back. The prosecution couldn't find any reason this really should have happened, and now apparently the investigation is in the hands of the Kansas Bureau of Investigation, which, of course, we should have no expectation that that will result in any kind of justice whatsoever for these officers and this particular police chief, who, again, is already retired and receiving his retirement regularly.
That probably isn't going to stop. He's going to keep getting his money and probably just retire from this
one. Well, even if he loses this job, then they're not going to cancel his retirement checks, are they, from Kansas City?
No,
I don't
probably
think so.
Not. I don't think they do that.
Like, go to jail for doing something like invading someone's house and killing their mom.
Well, I mean, it seems like he retired from the first place because of the allegations of him being a sex offender. That's what it seemed like.
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's not clear. That's not at least on the record. That's what the people who were working with him anonymously were telling the publisher of this newspaper, but they weren't willing to back it with their identities.
And what did it say? It said they were getting like a flood of reports.
Six of them, I think.
So typically, I mean, are six people? I mean, not always.
We don't know. This could be, to be fair to Mr. Cody, which he doesn't deserve it, but, you know, to play devil's advocate here, it could be that these are just some of his enemies within the old department.
But Nikki makes a good point, because it's one thing to have just an average person having sexual assault allegations, even if it's six people. I try not to say, like, oh, I know that it's true because six people are alleging. But when you're a cop, you are showing yourself to be a violent idiot thug.
Yeah.
Parasite, so I just think that it's more likely that it's true. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, typically,
likely to abuse their wives. We know that.
Yeah, I mean, like, those are actual statistics.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's just, you know, the science is settled.
Yeah, if there ever could be settled science, it's on this particular issue, that's for sure.
Well, we were talking earlier about governments being stupid and making it hard for people to get into their borders. With this man from Afghanistan and his wife who tried to come in. But Nikki has a story about a woman who left her country to have a baby, and now they won't let her off the boat. Is that what it is? With her baby?
Kind of. So a mum-to-be, clearly this is very British, a mum-to-be flew 4,000 miles across the world to give birth on a beach and is now stranded off the coast of Grenada, I think that's how you pronounce that, with her four-month-old baby. Okay, so this has been going on for 4 months.
Whoa.
I did not know that. Lulila Gerzil, 38, and her husband Clive, 51, feel like prisoners after getting stuck, unable to register her newborn's birth or apply for a passport. The couple left the UK and were traveling to Rodney Bay, St. Luca, so Lulia could fulfill their dreams of the most natural birth on a beach there. But her waters broke at sea, and baby Luisa was born on April 23rd, 2023.
On a boat?
Apparently on the boat. Mm. Typically, those things take a little bit, so I don't know. I mean, that sounds like it was either a very quick birth, or maybe they were really, really far out there. I don't know.
I wonder how long this boat ride was supposed to be.
Yeah, and it's strange that they still can't apply for a passport.
Yeah.
You know, like, no one will let this infant child on, like, in their country.
So if they were going to where? St. what?
St. St. Lucia?
Lucia, okay.
Yeah.
It's a Caribbean island.
Yeah.
Oh, from Grenada? Where's Grenada?
No, I thought they were coming from the UK. Did I miss that?
Yeah, they're from the UK.
Oh, okay.
Ever since, they have been in a battle against bureaucracy to get her home. To make matters worse, they left their daughter, Elizabeth, 8 years old, in the United Kingdom because they couldn't get her passport renewed.
Oh, my God.
Initially, they were told by a hospital they couldn't register her birth because she was more than 24 hours old. Then an immigration...
A hospital, just to be clear, are we talking about in the UK? Not necessarily,
They don't specify, no.
It could be the UK, because... Well, I don't know.
I'm assuming... Yeah, they could have called, but I'm assuming it's the local hospital wherever they are, but...
Well, if they had the baby on the ship, wouldn't it be under the flag of whatever the ship was under?
Maybe...
You would think...
But
somehow they're not able to get the baby a passport.
Maybe it's international waters, so there's something like, oh, well, there's no country that owns her.
But typically, right, like, even in international waters, wouldn't it be...
Whoever owns the boat.
Either way, they want to get home to the UK, and they can't without registering the baby, because if it doesn't have a passport, it can't internationally travel. So then you don't have to get a passport or a birth certificate or a social security card. You don't need to do anything like that for your children when they're born. But if you want to leave the country legally, you do.
But what if they're just a four-month-old baby? I don't understand why you can't just walk in with them.
That's the thing. You think they would just let them go home.
You know they're not a terrorist. Maybe you can do a test to make sure they don't have a disease.
Yeah, no, but this is just bureaucracy.
Yeah.
So the story continues to say, now they claim that the UK High Commission said that they need a DNA test, which they are still waiting to get the results for. Feeling stranded and abandoned and running out of money, the pair say they don't know how they will get back to the United Kingdom.
I just realized one thing that might be not a good reason for any of this, but one reason why they might be doing it, because they don't know that she didn't just go grab some baby somewhere.
So
a DNA test. But how long does that take?
Lucia.
Yeah, I mean, so Clive, a sports coach, said, "We have been passed around different agencies, and nobody will help us. We are running out of money. We will soon run out of food, and nobody is helping us, and they have a four-month-old baby, and they can't get back to their eight-year-old daughter.
What a nightmare.
We are essentially stateless, which normally would be a good thing, and we are more than abandoned. We are prisoners in a country that we are not allowed to leave." The couple left the United Kingdom in March 2023 when Lulia was 35 weeks pregnant and headed to Martinique. They then headed to St. Lucia after they picked up a boat in Martinique and gave birth at sea off the coast of Rodney Bay. Louisa was born. A few days later, the parents went to Owen King European Union Hospital in St. Lucia to get checked out and registered their daughter's birth, and was essentially told that they were not able to.
It sounds like a bunch of stupid bureaucratic nonsense. Like, it should be easy enough to test the kids, doesn't have diseases. It's been Free Talk Live, though. And we're on every night, so you can call in then.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.